thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic. Hello, and thank you once again for coming to see us at the Skeptic Psychic. With me tonight is my wonderful, sweet, beautiful, kind, considerate, wonderful, outstanding, gracious, and did I say wonderful? Yes, wonderful sister, Kimber Rodriguez.
Gee, somebody's kissing up tonight.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fine. What exactly have you been doing this week?
Ugh, it's been a hectic week with mostly just work and all that fun stuff. Mm. We've been watching a lot of Angel. We just finished Buffy and now we're watching Angel. And then after that, we're probably going to watch Charmed. So we've been on this paranormal supernatural kick the past few weeks. Mm. How about you?
Well, the wife and I have been spending the past couple of weeks going through the Wheel of Time series by Robert Jordan. She's reading to me every night, and occasionally we'll sit there and watch The Property Brothers, those two really cool hip contractor and his equally exciting brother who's a realist. Realtor. Not a realist, but a realtor.
He's
a real realtor.
Did you see the episode of a show called Studio C? It was a Halloween episode, and they were doing the Property Brothers Paranormal.
Yes, I did.
It was so cute. Yeah, that was quite funny, the way they're like the blood on the wall. Oh, don't worry about that. We'll just paint around it.
We'll just paint over it. Yes, I also like the one where the English teacher was being haunted by the ghost.
Oh, and it kept correcting its grammar.
Right.
That was hilarious.
Yes.
Speaking of Wheel of Time, that was Mercy's best friend's favorite series of books by Robert Jordan.
Right.
Who also wrote Scott's favorite series, Conan, which is a little...
He only wrote a couple of the novels.
Oh.
Robert Howard actually created Conan. And in fact, I believe either this weekend or next weekend, they're having a big fanfare down in Robert Howard's hometown in Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, he was born in Texas, lived in Texas. He was born in Peaster, Texas, and he died in Cross Plains.
Oh, interesting. I was going to ask if he died in Texas.
Yes. Don't know if he still haunts it, but one of his close personal friends was H.P. Lovecraft.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah.
Wasn't Houdini also friends with Lovecraft?
Not really, but he did actually do some work with him.
Let's see. Other famous people who were friends with H.P. Lovecraft. Robert Bloch, or Block, who wrote Psycho.
Yep.
The book, not the movie. And also Henry Kuttner, who wrote The Dark World. And poet Samuel Loveman.
Clark Ashton Smith was also a friend of H.P. Lovecraft as well.
All I know about that guy is from reading some of the stuff he's written, he must have been pretty twisted in life. Because his writings are pretty twisted.
He was a sickly child, from what I understood.
Well, there's more than one way to be sickly. Ah, here you go. He was best buddies with Harry Houdini. I knew it.
Not too sure about it. Because Lovecraft supposedly was not a very nice person.
Interesting. Well, what is our topic tonight going to be?
Well, I figure that means that we're starting to get to the wonderful month of July. And instead of talking about Stars and Stripes Forever about the 4th, let's talk about what happened on July 7th in this little bitty sleepy town of Roswell, New Mexico.
Ah, let's.
Now, first off, I want to let you know that Roswell is a city in New Mexico. To see the Chavez County in the United States, it forms the entirety of the Roswell micropolitical area. As a 2010 census, it has a population of 48,411, making it the fifth largest city in New Mexico. Now, you do have such wonderful historical markers as the White Family House, which is a museum for one of the first prominent families there in New Mexico. During the Lincoln County War, it was pretty quiet. It didn't really have all those that make up the Billy the Kid thing. It did have an Army airfield. Interesting to note, it was actually a flight school as well as a POW camp for up to about 4,800 POWs. The 509 Composite Group relocated to Roswell on the 6th of November, 1945. Now, these guys were the ones that were testing all the wind barometers, and they also housed the Boeing's B-29 Superfortresses, which was a part of the Operation Crossroads, a series of atomic bomb testing. So this was a highly sensitive area, especially after World War II. It's now officially a closed Air Force base after being called the Walker Air Force Base. The abandoned base is located 3 miles south of the Central District of Roswell.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a little background on what this is about. July 6th and 7th, there were kind of severe thunderstorms going on in the area. And a gentleman by the name of William Mack Brazel, he was a ranch foreman, noticed a cluster of debris on the Foster Ranch. It was about 30 miles south of outside of Roswell. And so he shows up July 6th, reporting a discovery to Sheriff George Wilcox in Roswell. In turn, Wilcox called the intelligence officer on the base, Officer Major Jesse Marcel, who assembled a detail to visit the Foster Ranch. Along with Marcel was Lieutenant Colonel Sheridan Cavett and Master Sergeant Bill Rick. Following morning, presumably about July 7th, the Army Air Force detail inspected the debris of the Foster Ranch and transported some or all of it back to Roswell. Now, this is where things get complicated. On July 8th, the Roswell Army Air Force Public Information Officer, Walter Haut, that's H-A-U-T, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, issues a press release stating that a personnel from the fields of 509th Operations Group had recovered, and I quote this, flying disc, which had landed near the ranch near Roswell.
Hot air balloon.
Let me finish. Because this is where everything gets fuzzy.
Okay.
Because it was picked up by everybody. And so it forced Major Jesse Marcel and Lieutenant Colonel Sheridan Cavett to actually bring the stuff to Fort Worth Army Airfield, where reporters were waiting with anticipation to actually see these crashed spacecrafts. Now, Major Marcel is shown in a picture holding up bits of the debris at the press conference on July 9th and said, "This is a weather balloon. We're sorry we screwed everybody up. It was just basically foil, rubber, and balsa wood," which matched the a weather balloon's description.
So how is it that it went from a flying disc, which is, I mean, you would think of a disc as being pretty much round and flat, to a weather balloon, which is more like a balloon shape? That's where it gets kind of hazy in my thought.
Okay, well, 1978, February. UFO researcher Stanton Friedman interviewed Jesse Marcel, the only person to have accompanied the Roswell debris from where it was recovered to Fort Worth, where the reporter saw that he claimed to be part of a recovered object. In November of 1979, Marcel interviewed a film was featured on a documentary entitled UFOs Are Real, co-written by Friedman. The film had limited release, but was later syndicated to broadcast. On February 28, 1980, the sensation tabloid National Enquirer brought large-scale attention to Marcel's story. And on September 20th of that year, The TV series In Search Of, hosted by Leonard Nimoy, aired an interview where Marcel described the participation in the 1947 press conference. And according to Wikipedia, this is what his participation was. They wanted some comments from me, but I wasn't at liberty to do that. So all they could do is to keep my mouth shut. And General Ramsey is the one who discussed, told the newspapers, newsmen, what it was, and to forget about it. It's nothing more than a weather observation balloon. Well, of course, we both knew differently. So basically, he's like, I'm taking it back. And if you kind of look at the picture of July 8th, 1947, you actually do see his face. He's like, to me, it looks like he's like, can you believe what they're making me do?
Can you send me the link to that so I can post the photo for other people to view and
sure can
comment on?
I sure can. Yeah, this is an interesting conversation type situation.
Well, you know my thoughts on aliens.
Yes. Yeah, this is, again, an interesting topic because from him saying, you know, we both knew what was happening, you know, we kind of, it basically, you know, we both knew what we had. We couldn't really discuss it. I kept my mouth shut while the General Ramey told everybody, yep, that's all it is a weather balloon. You guys have a nice day. Take your little pictures. I'll see you guys later.
Okay, well, looking at the picture, it does definitely look like it could be a destroyed weather balloon.
Oh, yeah. But look at Marcel's face.
You know, I guess he kind of has you got to be kidding me face.
Yeah.
Well, I guess UFO, I mean, in a sense, it does stand for unidentified flying object. Mm-hmm. So if you're not able to identify it, then technically it is UFO. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's aliens.
That's correct. Again, with Marcel coming out and saying, we both knew that it was something out of the ordinary. And all the statements up until the death of Marcel, he constantly denied the presence of bodies. That's between 1978 and early 1990s. All the way up until his death, he did not want anything to do with the alien bodies that were supposedly found. And that's quote unquote. And what the documents may have said, I don't know if it's declassified or what, but whatever was crashed had been hit by lightning, which caused the crash. Now we get into the fact of something may have been on board.
Interesting.
The first mention of alien bodies was a book written by Charles Berkowitz and William L. Moore, which they introduce a virtual secondhand stories of civil engineer Barnett and a group of archaeology students from an identified university encountering the wreckage and the alien bodies while on the plains of St. Augustine before being escorted away by the army. Now, again, Mac Brazil has already come out there and said, hey, you know, you guys got to go out there and pick up your stuff to the sheriff. Sheriff calls up, says, hey, you know, some ranch foreman's reporting a crash item. They go out there, pick up the debris, both Brazil and the lieutenant colonel. And again, they're very much concerned about it, but they bring it over to Fort Worth. This is where the story is supposed to be ending. He found alien aircraft. That's it. Now, Barney Burnett and his archaeology students find bodies chased off by the military. 1991. Kevin Rando and Dominic Schmidt added to 100 testimonies, new witnesses, who reported an elaborate military code on and debris recovery operation at the Foster Ranch. Glenn Dennis, who was a mortician at the time, claimed that the Army called up questioning him if he had any childlike coffins for transport. You know, of course, he had a few of them. And they're like, thank you, and they hung up. So like I said, this is kind of goes deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole the more you think about it. In 1994, Rando and Smith authored another book, The Truth About the UFO Crash in Roswell, which included claims that the alien bodies were taken by cargo plane to be viewed by Dwight D. Eisenhower himself. So with everything going on and more books and people coming forward saying, you know, yes, I was there at the Corona crash and Roswell and that sort of thing, from between 1994 up to 1997, the United States Congressional Inquiries and the General Accounting Offices directed the Office of the Secretary of the Air Force, which is out of the Pentagon, to conduct an internal investigation. The report of the results, first one was released in 1994, concluded that the material covered in 47 was likely debris from a project called Project Mogul. And that was a military surveillance program employing high-altitude balloons, which were to basically try to, during that time, you know, float across the sea to Russia, you know, to see what's, you know, going on with the Russians. The second report, released in 1997, that the reports of the recovered alien bodies were likely a combination of instantly transformed memories of the accidents involving military casualties with recovery of anthropomimic dummies. And such military programs in the 1950s, which called Operation High Dive, which led into NASA's trying to find out how bad it would be if our crashed on the Earth, or just basically stuff that should have been top secret years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then we can go into a former Lieutenant Colonel, Philip J. Corso, wrote an autobiographical book called The Day After Roswell. And he says that, yes, it did happen. Yes, it was alien. Yes, there were bodies. And supposedly that the Pentagon started leaking all the little items out to the, you know, aeronautics and space things to reverse engineer everything. So now we have smart transistors. We have such things as those things you call that you wear over your eyes to look in the dark.
Or night vision goggles.
Night vision goggles. All were kind of reverse engineered into modern day technology, which we have today.
Interesting.
In 2007, Donald Schmidt and Tom Carey published a book called Witness to Roswell, which promptly featured a document stating by a sworn affidavit by Walter Haught, who had written the first Army press release about the Roswell crash in 1947. Again, describes the debris of as being discussed by high-ranking staff and how Haught had actually seen the dead bodies. 2007. Of October 26th, Bill Richardson was asked about releasing documents because he was a candidate for the Democratic Party.
All right, Arnold.
Was asked about releasing government files on Roswell. Richardson responded with that when he was a congressman, he attempted to get information on behalf of his New Mexican constituents, but was told both by the Department of Defense and Los Alamos Labs that the information was classified. That ticked me off, he responded. The government doesn't tell the truth as much as it should on a lot of issues. He promised to work on the opening of the files if he was elected president. Now we can see that Bill Richardson, not the president of the United States.
No.
This is going into the rabbit hole. Back in 1995, Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction, hosted by Jonathan Franks, which was a gentleman who was known for being Commander Riker on Star Trek The Next Generation.
But wasn't the alien autopsy proven to be fake?
Yes, actually, it was created by a gentleman by the name of Rand Santil, a London-based video entrepreneur. He claims that it was actual footage. However, it was so badly damaged that he had to create footage.
So he's saying what he had was actually a reenactment because it was so badly damaged that he had to falsify it?
He had to refilm it because it was bad.
Right.
Again, this is just the story. This is not my opinion. These are the stories that go on with this.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, with movie references of the Roswell thing, you know, you have Hangar 18. It's about an alien ship crashing in the desert of the Southwest. done by filmmaker James L. Conway. He summarizes the film as a modern day dramatization of Roswell. X-Files, of course, did a version of it.
There's also the show Roswell.
Right. 1995, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, entitled Little Green Men. The protagonists traveled back in time and accidentally caused the Roswell incident.
No, I'd love to see that one. Deep Space Nine was personally my favorite Star Trek show. I don't remember that episode, so I'm going to have to look that one up.
1996 is Independence Day, a movie about an alien invasion, prompts the realization of a Roswell crash and cover-up extending even to the President of the United States.
Now, see, I always thought that that showed Area 51 and not Roswell. I know a lot of people get those two confused.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that as far as people getting Roswell and Area 51 confused?
Oh, well, I'm kind of like Looney Tunes back in action, that Area 51 was a conspiracy in order to protect the alien research and development. And it was just all just a, you know, big conspiracy joke. The real stuff was happening in Area 52.
So Area 51 was a diversion then.
Right.
Interesting.
Of course, you know, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skulls saw Dr. Jones on a quest for an alien body from the Roswell Institute, as well as the 2011 film Paul, which starred, who did it star?
Seth Rogen and, oh no.
No.
Let me take that back. Oh my gosh.
Seth Rogen was Paul.
Seth Rogen was Paul, but it was Simon Pegg. Uh-huh. And I always forget his
Nick
best
Frost.
Friend. Nick Frost. I always forget Nick Frost's right. name.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost telling a story of two guys that are on the way to a big science fiction convention and decide to stop along the way, and they pick up a gray alien named Paul. Like I said, going down the deep hole of the Roswell incident is kind of very dark, very deep, and I've only just kind of licked the whistle if you want to know more about it. There is in Roswell, New Mexico, opened up in 1991. I've been to it, is a UFO museum and research center. And not only do they discuss the Roswell crash, you actually get to see, you know, the same teletype machines they may have used, as well as a recording of the news broadcast that happened July 8th, 1947, from the local radio station.
Interesting. I know we drove by it when we went through Roswell on our way up to Utah, but we didn't have time to stop. You said you did actually check out the museum, though?
Yes, I did.
I think we should post some of your photos from there on the website if you want to send me some of those.
Sure, I can send you some of those. And like I said, it's a fascinating museum. It does go through all the information of Roswell, as well as other alien crashes and information. But then, of course, it also talks about the other
Area 52?
Now, it doesn't mention Area 52.
Okay. No one's supposed to know about Area 52, though, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So there
it's
you
run
go.
By Joan Cusack, by the way.
What is?
Area 52.
It's run by Joan Cusack?
Yes.
Okay. Let me guess. She came out on Looney Tunes?
Back in action.
Wow. Oh, I've never seen it. I'll have to check it
I
out. I
have got to see it. It's Brandon Fraser and Jenna Elfman.
I think I remember it coming out, but I never saw it because I heard it was really badly done.
It's badly done, but it's funny, especially when they go to Area 52 and they have every single sci-fi alien character, including Marvin the Martian.
I was just going to ask, was Marvin there?
Yes.
He was always your favorite Looney Tune, wasn't he?
Yes.
Thought so.
He was my favorite.
So what are your thoughts of this big thing that's supposed to come out this month of the government addressing the whole thing of are there aliens? Are there not aliens? Are we really seeing UFOs or are they government technology? Are they drones from another country? What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts on this is
more than likely, right now, there's three possibilities. One, the government is actually building a lot more advanced weaponry and spy probes. Two, foreign governments have been building a lot of interesting technology and site probes. And number three, it might be something that may be transdimensional or out of this world. Like I said, I do honestly believe that we are not alone in this universe. But then again, it'll take time to go from point A to point B within, I wouldn't say our lifetime, because we do have a theory of the speed of light. Once you get into the whole Roswell thing, you do go into a deep rabbit hole of so much theory versus eyewitness testimony that may have not been told, whether they might be a little bit, hey, you know, I just saw a dead body. You might have saw some dummies out there. Oh, no, no, they didn't look that damn dummies. Well, they were, sorry to say, PETA, they were experimenting on chimpanzees and dogs and cats, that sort of thing. So that may have been what you saw. Well, you know.
Yes. Well, I know a lot of skeptics are saying that there really won't be that big of a reveal because there's nothing to reveal. As you said, a lot of these things could be government stuff. However, looking at Scientific America, this is an article that was just posted on the 8th of June, just a few days before recording this episode. And it does say that the government does take very seriously these reports of seeing things because of the threat of drones and terroristic attack. But basically, when they say something is confidential, then it's just kind of like a feedback loop that we don't know what's going on. Well, I'm sorry, it's confidential. So it could be military technology that they're not allowed to discuss. It could be, which I very seriously doubt, aliens, but I don't see them actually coming out and saying that we found anything or that there is proof of anything out there. What do you think?
Well, again, it is underneath stuff that we could not or know stuff about. I mean, I would love to discuss sometimes with you about the Majestic Project or the agreement of what Truman did to discuss all these wonderful ideas of his.
What ideas were these?
Well, supposedly, now, like I said, this is just speculation. This is just talking. In trade for alien technology and the return of one of their people, that he agreed to actually have, again, speculation. This is somebody else's words, not mine, that we would allow these extraterrestrials to actually do experimentations on us.
Okay, so he's basically giving them permission to dissect and probe us?
Yeah. That's one of the stories. Again, I don't believe it.
Yeah, that's just kind of messed up.
Yeah.
I don't see why any president would give somebody the right to harm a fellow American.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that isn't, again, a speculation. So something that I don't believe, something I don't think our viewers should even think about as well.
Now, going back to what you were saying about the bodies.
Well, they're supposedly between 4 foot to 4 foot 11, grayish skin, large dark eyes, what could be a slit for nose, and no mouth.
Now, the International UFO Museum and Research Center.
Uh-huh.
Is that the one that you went to, or is that another one?
That's the one I went to.
Okay. It says that their library houses more than 7,000 books and over 30,000 magazines, periodicals, pamphlets, and more than 1,500 DVDs related to the UFO phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually pretty interesting.
Yes. It's stationed in an old-time movie theater that they've converted. And right across the street is a fantastic Mexican restaurant.
Interesting. I love Mexican food.
Yes.
Now, talking about movies and TV shows and everything, one of the ones that you hadn't mentioned is The Fourth Kind. I don't know if you had heard of that one.
I have.
It's based on the testimony of a psychologist who found that many of the patients she had in circa 2000 reported that they woke up at 3 a.m. with a sense that something was wrong, seeing an owl with its eyes on them, and it goes to great lengths to being realistic. I know this movie talks about their experiences as, you know, they go through hypnotherapy to bring back memories of being probed and so forth. I personally haven't seen it, but I know a lot of people who have seen it says it's very good. Have you seen that one?
No, I have not. There did do a movie called Roswell back in, I believe it was 1987, which starred, I believe it was Martin Sheen.
Oh, there was also one in 1994.
That might be it.
Yes, 1994. It was Kyle MacLachlan, Martin Sheen, Dwight Yoakam, and Peter McNichol.
I've actually seen that movie and talked with the filmmaker about that.
Oh, wow. You talked with the filmmaker?
Uh-huh.
How was it that you talked to the filmmaker?
I went to a Star Trek convention, and they actually were showing the highlights from the movie and explaining what it's all about.
Interesting. That might be one to check out. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah.
But it's got a good cast.
It's more about Major Jesse Marcel and his experiences up until, like to say, the last 15 minutes of the movie, where it kind of goes into the deep end. And of course, Colin McLaughlin plays
a young Jesse Marcel,
as well as the older version, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Great makeup on him.
Oh, wow.
There was also a TV show called Roswell, New Mexico, about four teenagers that crash land in Roswell and become high school students. I kid you not.
Well, I remember that there was a show, but I didn't know that they were aliens. I thought they all just had like this psychic ability, but they were actual aliens.
I wasn't sure if they were aliens, but supposedly they were trying to hide their secret.
I've always been curious about that show and mean to see it, but I never got around to it. Yeah. And of course, there was the movie Signs.
Right, but that was more or less about an alien invasion.
Have you heard of the miniseries Taken by Steven Spielberg?
Yes.
That does have to do with Roswell. Says that it has to do with three families, the Crawfords, who seek to cover up the crash and existence, the Keys, who are subject to frequent experimentation on, and the Clarks, who shelter one of the surviving aliens from the crash.
Right. And you've also do have Dark Skies. Basically, it was a series between 1996 and 97, and it was about the cover-up.
They also had a movie that came out in 2013 called Dark Skies.
Yeah, this was 18 episodes and a two-hour pilot about a secret cover-up of the Roswell incident.
Interesting. I'll have to look up that one.
Any questions so far on the wonderful world of Roswell?
Not really. Like I said, I remember driving through there, and I remember hearing the story quite a bit. But again, you know my take on aliens. I mean, I personally believe that what they found that day was a weather balloon, or it could be something similar to that. And I do believe that the things that people see are either military things that we aren't supposed to know about, or they could also be other countries. I know I heard a story about two military pilots that supposedly saw something that they couldn't describe. But again, that could be something from another country. The government hides so much from us on a technological.
I would not say they hide from us. No, they don't hide from us anything. They don't discuss things due to top secret.
That's what I'm saying. They don't discuss these things. They keep it classified. I think a lot of the reason is because they don't want it leaked. also, if there is something out there, they don't want to scare people or create a mass hysteria. But I personally don't believe that there is anything out there worth freaking out about.
Yeah. Like I said, it's an interesting topic that you build into a whole rabbit hole of Area 51, Wright-Patterson. And I like to leave it at that spot in July 9th, 1947, where basically you've got a paper in Waco with the picture of Major Marcel showing the wreck, whatever it was.
I'll definitely post that. And like I said, if you want to send me pictures from when you were at the museum, we can post those as well.
I do have a picture I sent to you of me in front of some aliens.
Okay.
You've got a couple of more minutes. We do appreciate you guys, whoever it was, we appreciate giving us a 2-star review, but you didn't leave any comments, so we don't know where we did right, what we did wrong, and we would appreciate anybody that either gives us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Google, Podbeam, that sort of thing. That's just to actually just kind of give us a thumbs up, thumbs down, and tell us. Please, we're just struggling podcasters. We want to know what we did wrong, what we did right, and we want to be better and better at all these podcasts. If you're going to be nasty about it, we'll accept it. If you're going to give us some positive criticism, we're good about that.
Yes, please don't be nasty.
If you're going to be nasty, okay. It's like it's skin off my nose.
I won't say anything. If you're going to be nasty, take it somewhere else. If it's going to be constructive, we'd love to hear it. Who do you want to recommend this week?
I really would like to recommend an esoteric author that does the research and this is her own opinions. A gentleman by the name of Walter Bosley. He's on YouTube. He has his own channel. And every Sunday night around 5 and 5:30 Pacific time, he does discuss on UFOs and the esoteric topics. He's written a couple of books, including Shimmering Light, which is about his father's own experiences, which possibly what went on at Roswell.
Okay, go ahead and send me that information.
Sure can.
And I'd like to recommend Bailey Sarian. She also has a couple of YouTube channels. One of them is Murder, Mystery, and Makeup. And what she does is she'll do her makeup. I know a lot of women out there enjoy watching that. And while she's doing it, she discusses true crime stories. And it's very interesting. She goes into the history of these killers, talks about their lives as well as what they did and then what happened to them afterwards. And then she has another one that she does on Thursdays. It's called Dark History. And I'll leave the links for both of those as well. She's really great at doing her research and her storytelling.
I have actually seen her as she's doing her makeup. She's telling about murder mysteries. She kind of gets a bit graphic as she's putting her makeup on.
Yes.
Not talking about her.
Her makeup's not graphic, but her stories get very graphic sometimes. But
right.
It's true life. I mean, these are things that really happen. She's not making anything up. And sometimes I think we need to hear all of that in order to try to rationalize these things that people are doing. But I really enjoy watching her and Christina Randall, which I had suggested on another podcast. And the way they tell their stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is a good place for us to wrap it up for tonight. As always, we enjoy your feedback. As Richard said, please check out our podcast on either Apple iTunes or even Facebook now. Leave us a rating. Don't just leave the 5-star rating. We do love to get those ratings. But we also would like to have the reviews. So as Richard said, we know where we can fix things. But as always, everybody have a wonderful night and pleasant dreams.
Yes. Pleasant nightmares. And good night. We love you.
Good night. Sleep tight, all.